Hi, I'm Sunny Brock, and I'd like to welcome you to today's session on practical Active Directory delegation. Today, we'll discuss how delegation can help maintain security and solve some common organizational challenges. Let's start by taking a look at the areas we will cover in more detail. Through delegation of administration, responsibility for administrative tasks is transferred to the administrators who must perform the respective tasks and to no one else. From a technical perspective, delegation of administration involves a higher-level administrator granting a controlled set of permissions to a relatively lower-level administrator to give the lower-level administrator the ability to perform a specific administrative task. In other words, a higher-level administrator authorizes the delegated lower-level administrator to carry out a specific administrative task. Today, we'll cover why delegation is important and take a look at some scenarios that can benefit from delegation. To build an effective delegation model, it is first necessary to define the roles in an organization and how those roles map to organizational units within the directory. We will talk about some best practices for defining roles and for mapping real-world organizations to an organizational unit model. We'll build a new organizational model for our scenario company and implement some roles for them. Secondary accounts should be established to ensure that privileged accounts are restricted from being used in everyday scenarios. Enforcing the use of secondary accounts by administrators to perform highly privileged tasks reduces the exposure to security threats and accidental destruction. We'll discuss how our scenario company can implement secondary accounts, and we'll create an example. Implementing a delegation model properly requires the use of a number of tools. We'll cover the command line tools for delegating rights and permissions, as well as take a look at delegation through group policy. In addition, we'll share some best practices that Microsoft and its customers have developed to effectively implement and manage delegation in a real-world enterprise. As we go through today's session, you will hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we will explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or other versions of Microsoft products we may not spend time on. To assist you, we have listed out the areas that it may be helpful to be familiar with either prior to this session or to reference afterwards. It will help to have experience with supporting Windows servers. This presentation revolves around Windows servers, especially read-only domain servers. You should be somewhat familiar with Active Directory services and the way you can use it for building and managing connecting systems, and familiarity with aligning these services around a unified architecture, policy model, developer model, and management experience is helpful. You should be familiar with group policy, the group policy organization infrastructure, and group policy concepts. To cover the topics mentioned earlier and keep the session flow going, we have divided the session up into the following agenda items. We'll start by reviewing delegation in Active Directory. We'll talk about why we need delegation, and we'll discuss some of the common organizational challenges that can be solved. Next, we'll talk about defining roles and creating tiered administration. After we've discussed roles, we'll take a look at defining organizational units, known as OUs, and creating an overall organizational model. Then we'll talk about secondary accounts and see how they play into delegation principles. Finally, we will discuss delegating rights and look at some tools and best practices for best managing an organization. The move to Windows Server 2008 can help you realize a more secure environment. To help measure and map out these improvements, we've developed a process model called the Infrastructure Optimization Model, or I/O model. The I/O model for Microsoft helps customers understand and subsequently improve the current state of their IT infrastructure and what that means in terms of cost, security risk, and operational agility. Dramatic cost savings can be realized by moving from a basic unmanaged environment towards a dynamic environment. Security improves from highly vulnerable in a basic infrastructure to dynamically proactive in a more mature infrastructure. Windows Server 2008 Active Directory Domain Services is the foundation for many of the new security, management, and automation features that can help you move more easily towards a dynamic and people-ready environment. Let's start by discussing why you would delegate in an Active Directory environment. What is the importance of delegation in an Active Directory environment? Active Directory is taking a different role in today's organizations. It has evolved from a directory service providing authentication to a platform for applications. Many applications are consumers of Active Directory, with needs coming from many different directions within an organization. So we need to define rules of engagement within the organization on how all of these different applications and consumers of information can interact with Active Directory. There is also a tendency to give service accounts membership to the domain administrators group to ensure that applications can access data. These generic service accounts pose a security threat to the environment. They are hard to audit, hard to track, and could be misused by a malicious application or administrator. Therefore, we need a way to constrain these applications, but still give them a way to access the information they need. Delegation also gives us a way to enforce roles within the organization that govern what different administrators can and can't do. Most importantly, we want to make sure that we limit the impact and probability of administrative error. If someone has role-appropriate access, they are much less likely to cause widespread problems if they make a mistake. Microsoft has a methodology that we've developed internally and on-site with our customers to build a delegation model. There are four simple steps. First, we need to define the roles. We need to look at the tasks and responsibilities within the organization. Then, we define the organizational model by carefully defining each organizational unit, or OU, within Active Directory, keeping in mind how delegation works specific to Active Directory. By establishing secondary accounts, we can implement the principle of using the least privileged account to perform tasks and protect the environment. Finally, we implement the model by delegating rights to the accounts and OUs. Designing a delegation model can be challenging. When we think about designing a delegation model, we need to think about the geographic boundaries of an organization and the history of those boundaries. Most organizations evolve over time. There are mergers and acquisitions. New offices may open and existing locations may move. The geographic boundaries may be simply a metropolitan area with different buildings, or they may be broken into regions worldwide. There are also independent organizations of departments or teams that cross geographic boundaries. These organizations grow, merge, and dissolve as the company evolves. We may have multiple IT agencies within an organization. These different dimensions define how the Active Directory is designed and why it may seem less than optimal. When we think about overlaying a delegation model, many times we won't be able to change how the directory is architected. But we need to understand why it is set up the way that it is, because that will define the roles and tasks that we need to delegate. There are some common issues and risks that organizations face. An example may be that there are far too many domain administrator accounts in an organization. There is also the risk of escalation privileges between domain administrators. A domain administrator can make anyone else a domain administrator. Previous versions of Windows do not have the rich delegation capabilities that are present in Active Directory. There may be a need to educate the IT staff about these capabilities. The staff may think that they need to do things a certain way because that's the way things have always been done. They may assume that they need to give everyone a high level of privilege. Service accounts are also one of the primary risks that can be addressed with delegation. Another issue is that an account may have been used by more than one person or process because secondary accounts haven't been established. The biggest risk is the concept of trust. There may be an issue of trust from the lower levels of the organization to the higher levels, as well as trust amongst peer organizations. The way that we solve this is through delegation and by using delegation to create the rules of engagement between organizations and levels. The challenge is to preserve the management hierarchy while mitigating the trust issues. The solution is delegation. One of the most important aspects of delegation is to define the tasks that are performed by administrators. It is necessary to understand what tasks are performed across the organization and then to categorize those tasks based on frequency, importance, and difficulty. Tasks that are frequent and important are good candidates for delegation. An example would be resetting a password. It can happen frequently and is very important, but it is not very difficult. A more difficult and infrequent task, such as promoting a domain controller, should be reserved for a higher level of administration. delegation breaks down into two roles. The first role is service administration. We advocate that all service management should be centralized. There should be one group of individuals who have accountability for the service of Active Directory itself. It is important to establish a central management infrastructure for forest resources and to restrict access to specific service administration tasks. The second role is data administration. This is where the majority of work takes place, and we want to support the distribution of this work across the organization so that we both relieve the central group and empower the individual organizations. In the model, we divide data management into separate organizational unit, OU, structures. Administrators within each OU structure should have specific service and data management capabilities defined. In this section, we'll talk about defining administrative roles and the different types of administrators. As we've discussed, there are two major delegation roles, service administration and data administration. First, let's talk about service administration. This is the group that's ultimately responsible for all the delivery and availability of authorization and authentication services within Active Directory to all the applications that are consumers. It may include administration of some data within Active Directory, such as transferring mailboxes. But the overall function of the service administrator is to make sure that Active Directory is available. Some example tasks might include managing domain controllers, managing Active Directory replication, updating forest DNS records, and managing Exchange servers and Exchange organizational settings. Data administrators are responsible for the administration of directory objects, with the exception of domain controllers or related resources. This is the group doing the bulk of administration work, such as resetting passwords, creating user and computer accounts, and managing groups. They may also manage local servers, sharing files, printers, or applications, and may take on local application administration. There may be some overlap in data administration with the central service administration group. We've also found that when we distribute data administration across the organization, that the central group will serve as the tiebreaker in cases where there are conflicts. Now that we've defined service administration and data administration, let's look at these two groups together. These two groups define the core of Active Directory. One group is not necessarily better than another. They both must exist to manage Active Directory. They have to work together. It's important to understand, for example, that domain administrators are part of service management and that not everyone needs to have domain administrator privileges to get their work done. What they really need is the permission to perform certain tasks, and that is what defines the lower tiers. In this case, we are defining four tiers because we've found that this maps well to many customer scenarios. You may have different names for these, but it comes down to a hierarchical delegation model. For example, at the top end, the enterprise administrators may be defining the overall schema for the company, and at the lower end, the Tier 1 administrators may be performing password resets for their local users or updating phone numbers for user objects. Now we're going to talk about each one of the tiers we've defined in our model. Starting with service administrators, at the very top we have the enterprise administrators. The enterprise administrators group is present by default and should be left with full privileges. We don't want anyone to be a permanent member of this group. This level of privilege should only be granted for a short period of time while performing a specific task. This can be granted by a domain administrator of the root domain. The majority of the time, this group should remain empty. The next level of service administrators is the domain administrators group. This group is also present by default, and again, we want to leave that group with full privileges. There should only be a few highly privileged individuals with membership in this group, and they should be permanent members. Other personnel may be granted temporary membership to perform specific tasks. The bulk of service administration will actually be performed by Tier 4 administrators. This group should be divided into subgroups for separation of authority. This group will be the top-level administrators of enterprise servers. they will perform infrequent forest-wide data management tasks, such as user transfers and mailbox moves between domains. They should be members of server operators and DNS administrators built-in groups, but not members of the built-in administrators group on the domain controllers to prevent privilege escalation. They should be members of the local administrators group on all other computers. This way, they have control of enterprise servers without being domain administrators. Let's take a look at how we define the data administration tiers. With service administration, we started at the top and defined the core rights that are needed and then moved down. With data administration, it helps to start with the most common tasks and then move up through the escalation chain. Let's look at Tier 1 administrators. Tier 1 members have the ability to manage directory objects that have already been created, but they have very limited rights to create new objects. This level suits individuals with minimal training or who are performing isolated tasks. Tier 1 administrators should also be members of the local administrators group for local workstations. Some common tasks they might perform are modifying user object properties, like updating an office number, resetting passwords, unlocking accounts, enabling or disabling accounts, or modifying membership to non-administrator groups. These people should be the first line of support at the lowest levels of the organization. Tier 2 administrators have all the rights of Tier 1 administrators, plus some additional rights, such as the ability to create objects. We may restrict them to only being able to create objects in organizational units where they or the tier below them can manage them. They should be local administrators on regional servers as well as workstations. Some of the tasks that a Tier 2 administrator might perform are adding and modifying Tier 1 administrator accounts, adding and modifying user accounts for a particular OU, deleting workstation computer objects, and adding, modifying, and deleting servers. The regional administrator role is meant to replace the traditional meaning of domain administrator. These are highly privileged accounts with just a few per region. They have all the privileges and permissions of a Tier 2 administrator with some additional rights. They should be members of the local administrators group on all regional computers. Regional administrators can create most objects without restrictions. However, there is still the risk that they could create objects that they could not manage. So it is important to base their rights on their current capabilities. Regional administrator accounts should be stored separately from the rest of the region and should be exclusively managed by service administrators. This prevents privilege escalation among peers. The uppermost administrative level in the data administration tiers is the Tier 3 administrators. These accounts are essentially centralized data administrators. They have the same rights as regional administrators, but for all regions. They should be members of the local administrators group on all regional computers in all regions. They do not have local administrative rights to enterprise computers. The focus of the Tier 3 administrator is to provide technical field support to all regional administrators. They have the ability to manage all OU data, but it is not their responsibility. Let's take a look at the environment we'll be using for today's demonstrations. We're using a single Windows Server 2008 computer in our demonstration. This server is running Active Directory Domain Services and DNS for the contoso.com domain in Seattle. Let's move on to our first demonstration. In this demonstration, we will define the roles of service administrators and data administrators and take a look at how these roles differ from other types of roles and how they fit in a tiered model. Let's take a look at how we have Active Directory set up on our server. We'll start by defining our service administrators. For the purposes of our demonstration, we will be working with a single domain, contoso.com. By default, our domain administrator is a member of the Enterprise Admins group. Enterprise Admins is a built-in security group. Enterprise admins have universal control over the entire Active Directory forest. Enterprise admins are the highest level of our tiered service administrators. For now, we will keep our account as a member. However, when our initial structure is implemented, we will want to make this an empty group and only promote accounts on a temporary as-needed basis. Enterprise admins are members of the built-in local administrators group on all computers in the enterprise. We don't want to cripple this group or those accounts. It's better to keep the group empty and promote individual accounts as needed. The next level down in our service administrators tiered group is the domain admins. In our delegation model, there will be very few domain admins. Remember that domain admins is a built-in security group, and while we don't want to change the group's privileges, we want to severely limit who can be a domain administrator. In our model, only a handful of our top service administrators will be members of this group. To give the rest of our service administrators the appropriate privileges, we'll need to create a container for them. Let's create a container for the Tier 4 administrators. Now we'll create a security group for all Tier 4 administrators. We want to give our Tier 4 administrators a high level of privileges without making them domain administrators. One thing we can do is to make them a member of the server operators group on all servers. We will also make them a member of the DNS admins. Before we close this group, let's go ahead and add a user account to this group. We'll add Aaron Kahn. Let's create our higher level data administrators. Remember that Tier 3 administrators are regional service admins that provide support to regional admins. They have the same rights, except that they can create and manage the regional admins group. For now, we'll just create one security group for all of our Tier 3 admins, but you would probably also want to create individual Tier 3 security groups for each region. Now we'll create our regional administrators. These groups will replace the traditional use of domain admins in the organization. The regional admins are the highest level data administrators. They have admin privileges over their entire region and will be administering the other data administrator groups. We'll create a group for our Seattle administrators. We will continue adding our Tier 1 and Tier 2 administrators in the next demonstration. We'll move on to the next section. It's important to define organizational units in a way that reflects the overall organizational structure, but is also consistent and provides separations for the tiers of administration. Once we've defined the roles, we can start looking at the overall organizational model. To separate the roles effectively, we want to create specific organizational units primarily for delegation. The top-level OUs should correspond to the largest divisions, such as regions and/or business units, like human resources or finance. We want to grant our Tier 4 administrators rights at this level only, not to entire domains. Under each top-level OU, there should be a separate sub-hierarchy representing each district or unit. Each regional subunit should have a common, non-extensible OU hierarchy for management of directory objects. This hierarchy should be uniform across all regions and should be generic enough to accommodate all objects and situations. consistency is the key to ongoing management. At the user account level, it is important to separate the administrative tiers into different groups to not only simplify management, but also to prevent the risk of privilege escalation within the group. Let's take a look at a sample model and the scope of management defined for the key tiers. We'll start at the top with our domain administrators. Remember, there will only be a few highly trusted individuals at this level. These should be centralized service administrator accounts. Domain administrators have unrestricted rights over the entire domain. This includes all default containers in Active Directory. Domain administrators create and manage the Tier 4 administrator user and group objects. Tier 4 administrators have delegated rights over selected top-level OUs, but not over the entire domain. They can also create and manage enterprise-wide groups and systems, such as enterprise servers, except domain controllers. Tier 4 administrators create and manage regional administrator users and group objects. Regional administrators are delegated management rights over specific regional OUs. They do not manage other regions or enterprise systems. There should be only a few of these highly privileged accounts for each region. Regional administrators manage Tier 2 administrator user accounts and group objects. Tier 2 administrators are delegated mostly the same management rights as regional administrators, except that they cannot manage other Tier 2 administrator accounts or groups. This prevents privilege escalation issues. Tier 2 administrators do have the ability to manage Tier 1 administrator accounts and groups. Tier 1 administrators are delegated management rights over specific OUs such as workstations and local servers. They have the ability to manage regular users and groups, but cannot manage any administrator groups. Let's move on to our demonstration. In our last demo, we created a security group for our Seattle regional administrators. Now, let's create a region and sub-district for the users and resources in our Seattle office. We want to keep the same structure in each of our regions. This will ensure consistency and will keep things easy to understand and manage. We will create the lower level data administrator containers in this regional users organizational unit. Let's create an OU for local workstations. We'll add a workstation account to the OU. Let's take a look at our sales department. The key to our model is consistency. Let's create an OU to hold our users. Now we can go ahead and create our Tier 1 and Tier 2 admin containers. Let's create a security group for our Tier 1 and Tier 2 admins in the sales department. We can use the delegation wizard to delegate the administration of the Tier 1 administrator group. We will delegate control to the Tier 2 administrators in the sales group. Here we have a list of the tasks that we can delegate. Now we have successfully delegated the user and group management of the Tier 1 administrators in the sales department to the Tier 2 administrators in the sales department. In addition, any new groups or users created in the Tier 1 admins OU under the sales OU will also have their management delegated to the Tier 2 admins. Let's go back to our Seattle group. We can use the same method to delegate control of an entire region. Previously, we created a security group for our Seattle regional administrators. Let's delegate control over our regional resources to them. This time, let's try creating a custom task. Select the This Folder, Existing Object in This Folder, and Creation of New Objects in This Folder option if you want to delegate full control of this folder and all of its existing object contents, as well as any future objects it might contain. Select the Only the Following Objects in the Folder option if you want to delegate control of only selected types of objects in this folder. The types of objects that are available are determined by the Active Directory schema. On the Permissions page, when you select the General option, the list of permissions displays only the core permissions that are common to all of the selected objects in the previous wizard page. These permissions include full control, read, write, read all properties, and write all properties. Select the Property-Specific checkbox to update the listed permissions to include properties that are specific to the types of objects that you selected in the previous wizard page. For example, if you selected account objects, any properties that are specific to the account object type will appear in the permissions list. Select the Creation, Deletion of Specific Child Objects checkbox to update the listed permissions to include properties that are specific to the creation and deletion of child objects for the object types that you selected in the previous page. We're going to give full control to our Seattle admins. Now, we'll demonstrate how the organizational model can be defined using OUs and take a look at some of the different administrator roles within them. Let's move on to the next topic. Now, we'll discuss the role of secondary accounts and delegation principles. Why establish secondary accounts? The purpose of establishing secondary accounts is to promote the principle of using the least privilege needed to accomplish a task. Administrators should not use privileged accounts for everyday tasks like reading email or surfing the internet. This decreases the likelihood that an administrator will damage the directory service by mistake. It also decreases the risk of exposure to malicious programs that are distributed through everyday applications. There should be no email mailboxes set up for administrator accounts. This reduces the likelihood that these accounts will be used for routine, non-administrative tasks. We can allow users to elevate their privileges when performing specific tasks by using the secondary long odd service, run as. By providing an alternate set of credentials when executing scripts or administrative programs on servers and workstations, we can enforce isolation of privilege to specific tasks. there are some principles to keep in mind regarding delegation. Delegation involves manipulating the access control entries, ACEs, and access control lists, ACLs, on data stored within Active Directory. The target is always domain name specific. There are basic operations covered, such as viewing an object or child objects, creating a child object of a specific class, deleting a child object of a specific class, reading or writing attribute information, and reading or writing security information. Use extended rights to provide the ability to perform specific operations related to the administration, such as send as and manage replication topology. These are stored in the extended rights container in the forest root domain. Create security groups that map to the delegation roles, such as Tier 1 admins, Tier 2, and so on. Leverage the built-in groups and rights, and extend user rights and other permissions through group policy. Limit or eliminate the use of deny ACLs. They can get tricky and confusing. Leverage allow ACEs instead to grant rights to custom groups. Always be specific about the scope of inheritance and apply inheritable ACEs as close to the target objects as possible. Remember that inheritable deny permissions applied to a parent object will precede any inheritable denied permissions applied on the grandparent object. Additionally, inheritable permissions cannot override an explicit ACE on an object. Therefore, the use of write DACL on objects should be limited or eliminated. Now it's time for a demonstration. In this demonstration, we'll talk about some of the scenarios where you might need secondary accounts. Then we'll create some secondary accounts and test them. Remember Aaron Kahn, our Tier 4 administrator? Aaron is going to be working on a special project which requires high-level privileges. However, we don't want to elevate Aaron's regular user account. That could cause many problems, and we don't want Aaron to accidentally run a script or get infected with a virus using the elevated privilege. Instead, we'll create a secondary account that Eric can use to perform specific tasks for the special project. First, let's create a container for special admin accounts. We're going to give Aaron his own special account to use for this project. We'll put in a temporary password. A new region is coming online in Contoso, and Aaron is tasked with setting up the new directory structure. Let's delegate control of the new region to Aaron's special account. We want to create a custom task to give Aaron full control over the new region. Let's also give Aaron special account admin privileges to the domain. Now let's switch users and log in as Aaron. We're going to use Aaron's regular account. Now we're logged in as Aaron. Let's try to make some changes to Active Directory. First, let's try using Aaron's standard login credentials. Notice that we don't get the option to create new OUs here. Aaron's standard account doesn't have permission to create new OUs. Let's try using Aaron's secondary account. Now we can work on creating the new structure. Aaron's special account has the ability to create new OUs. Let's move on to our final topic. In this section, we'll discuss the tools available for delegation and talk about best practices. Let's start with tools. DS ACLs is the primary delegation tool used to manipulate directory services ACLs on objects. It is run from the command line, and it is case sensitive with regard to object types. There are three inheritance settings for controlling inheritance of ACLs on objects. Using T with the inheritance flag specifies that the ACL should apply to this object and subobjects. S specifies subobjects of this object only, and P propagates the ACLs down one level only. DS-revoke is used to list and remove delegated rights for specific security principles within the directory. It only looks at the specified name and does not evaluate nested membership. Group policy is used to assign user rights. Use group policy to extend or remove rights on computers for groups of users and to enforce local and domain group membership. Remember that no single tool is used to implement delegation. Use a combination of tools for proper delegation. There are some best practices you should keep in mind when designing and implementing a delegation model. Always define clear roles and limit the number of role levels to a small number. If there are too many levels, they will not all be used and may become confusing to manage. There should be just enough to allow for role separation. When defining tasks, organize them by frequency, importance, and difficulty. Develop use cases to define what each role can do. Develop a diagram of delegated rights and post the diagram centrally. Encourage feedback and implement changes to make sure everyone has the ability to do their job. Take care with built-in administrators groups. They contain several rights within the directory. Use server operators for physical domain controller management. When dealing with creator and owner, look at the schema for default permission on objects such as computers. Accept the risk or mitigate through provisioning. Using managed by for group object owner membership management requires write DACL write on group objects. The advanced settings on the remote installation tab of the computer object is actually IntelliMir SCP child object. Generic read-write permissions must be granted on IntelliMir SCP objects. Use the inherit flag to limit inheritance. Remember, simplicity is the key to ongoing supportability. Keep things simple and easy for everyone to use and understand, and everyone will be more likely to adhere to the model. Let's take a look at some of the tools we discussed. In this demonstration, we'll use the DS ACLs command line tool to change access control entries and DS-revoke to remove permissions. Then we'll use group policy to delegate the management of objects. There are a number of tools you'll need to use to properly implement an Active Directory delegation model. For most large organizations, using the built-in delegation wizard for assigning permissions in the directory is a daunting task. Instead, automation should always be used to ensure that the delegation model is well documented, that it's supportable, and that it provides a recovery option in case settings are somehow lost or changed inadvertently. The primary tool required for implementing delegation is dsackles.exe, a command line tool used to manipulate directory service ackles on objects. This tool also allows for the inheritance flags for a dackle to be specified on the parent object. Here's an example of the DS-ACLs syntax for delegating the ability to create computer objects in the target new region OU to the new admin security group. Note that we need to use double quotes around new region because it has a space, and also that the command is case sensitive. A specific set of rights is required for creating some objects. This has to do with must contain and may contain attributes on objects. Let's say we were to follow this model to create user objects using the following DS-ACLs syntax. The member of the new admins group would be confronted with several errors during user object creation. We need to grant the privileges necessary to set required attributes on the user object, including setting the password. This is outlined in the following additional DS-ACLs syntax. For the first step, grant the privilege to write must contain attributes by granting generic read, generic write permissions to all attributes of the user class. For the next step, grant the extended right to change the password. For the final step, grant the privilege to read property and write property of password last set attribute. Another helpful tool is DS-revoke. DS-revoke reports on the permissions for a domain or for OUs and lets you remove permissions. For example, The following Diaz Revoke command checks for permissions on the new region group in the Contoso domain and then specifies the new admins OU in the contoso.com domain. Using the same syntax, we can remove aces with confirmation. Note that we can specify a secondary account to give appropriate permissions for running the command. Diaz Revoke is most effective when delegation has been defined by using roles where users are placed in a group and the group is given permissions at a domain or OU level instead of through individual objects. Beyond these command line tools, we also highly recommend the use of user rights assignment and restricted groups with group policy. We can delegate the creation of group policy objects, or GPOs, just like OUs in Active Directory. Let's give Tier 4 admins the ability to create GPOs. Note that these admins will only be able to manage the GPOs that they create. Now let's make sure that our Seattle office is using strong passwords. We'll set up a GPO and link it to the Seattle OU to make sure that passwords are at least 8 characters. Now let's enforce the policy. Let's see who can link and edit GPOs for Seattle. Good, our Seattle admins are able to link to existing GPOs that have been created by Tier 4 admins. Let's add our Tier 3 admins to this list. Now let's give our Seattle admins the ability to restart a system in the Seattle region. The user rights settings are found in Windows Settings, Security Settings, Local Policies. We can also use restricted groups to force membership. Restricted groups can also be found under Windows Settings, Security Settings. There are no restricted groups by default, so we'll need to add a group. Let's make sure that our Tier 3 admins have the same rights as Seattle admins. Now all Tier 3 admins are also members of the Seattle admins group. That just about wraps up this session. Let's review what we've covered so far. Active Directory provides an enterprise-ready, scalable, distributed directory service that allows organizations to centrally manage and share information about network resources and users, and is the central focus for network security. Active Directory thus plays a major role in accomplishing the business goals of an organization, and the ability to successfully manage Active Directory has a direct bearing on the ability to accomplish these goals. Delegation of administration, a key capability of Active Directory, provides a means to successfully manage an Active Directory environment. Keep in mind the issues involved in delegating administrative responsibilities and plan for and implement an administrative delegation model for securely and efficiently managing Active Directory. By keeping a simple model and adhering to best practices, organizations can realize multiple benefits from the delegation capabilities of Active Directory. These benefits include distributing administrative responsibilities on the basis of least privilege, increasing administrative efficiency by easily and conveniently assigning the responsibilities for managing directory content and the directory service itself, and reducing administrative costs by facilitating shared administrative responsibility. To get more information on the products and technologies we have covered today, we have some online resources available that can help you. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the main TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/TechNet. Additionally, visit www.microsoft.com/TechNet/ADD-311 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are available from Microsoft. Microsoft Learning develops courseware called Microsoft Official Curriculum, MOC, which includes e-learning, MS Press books, workshops, clinics, and Microsoft Skills Assessment. MOC is offered in instructor-led environments. It offers comprehensive training courses for IT professionals, support, and implement solutions using Microsoft products and technologies. There are 22 online and instructor-led courses available that cover Microsoft Windows Server 2008. One of the most useful is 5934, which is an online collection composed of 5 clinics, where you are introduced to the new features and functionality in Windows Server 2008. 5939 is another online clinic, where you learn the new tools and improved features for server management and administration of Windows Server 2008. This includes PowerShell task automation, remote administration, performance, and diagnostic tools. For information, please visit www.microsoft.com/learning. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you differentiate yourself from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available, starting with the Basic Microsoft Certified Professional, MCP. You can choose to become a fully certified system administrator, MCSA, or System Engineer, MCSE, or a Desktop Specialist, MCDST. the new Microsoft Certified Technology Specialist, MCTS, and Microsoft Certified IT Professional, MCITP, credentials provide IT professionals with a simpler and more targeted framework to showcase their technical skills in addition to the skills that are required for specific job roles. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which you may find interesting.
TechNet Plus is an essential premium web-enabled and live support resource that provides IT professionals with fast and easy access to Microsoft experts, software, and technical information, enhancing IT productivity and control and planning. With convenient access to all these resources in one online location, TechNet Plus provides what you need to help you evaluate products and learn new skills, plan for and deploy new technologies, and support and maintain your IT environment. For evaluation and learning, you get access to all Microsoft full version software for evaluation without time limits. This includes Microsoft Server, Client, and Application Software titles. With full version software, you can make informed decisions about new technologies at your own pace. You also receive access to the latest betas before public release. Be the first to try out the latest pre-release versions of Microsoft operating systems, servers, and business applications. TechNet Plus also offers quarterly training resources, including select Microsoft e-learning courses for free, so you can keep your skills current, prepare for certification exams, or get ready for a specific project. For planning and deployment, the TechNet library includes resources to help you plan for and deploy new technologies in your IT environment, including a complete knowledge base, resource kits, utilities, and technical training. You also get exclusive tools like System Center Capacity Planner to accurately plan for and deploy Exchange Server and System Center Operations Manager. For support and maintenance, TechNet Plus comes with two complimentary professional support incidents. You can talk to a Microsoft support professional to quickly resolve your mission-critical technical issues fast. TechNet Plus also provides access to over 100 managed newsgroups. You can exchange ideas with other professionals and get expert answers to your technical questions within the next business day, guaranteed. You also get access to TechNet library resources to help you support and maintain your IT environment, including security updates and service packs. TechNet Plus offers proven value that far exceeds its cost. The two complimentary professional support incidents alone more than offset the cost of a TechNet Plus subscription. Add to that the evaluation and beta software and other technical resources, and TechNet Plus clearly boosts productivity. Every IT professional on the team needs one. For more information or to purchase a TechNet Plus subscription, please visit technet.microsoft.com/subscriptions. Thank you for attending this TechNet event. We hope that you enjoyed learning about the new Microsoft technologies. TechNet Plus is an essential premium web-enabled and live support resource that provides IT professionals with fast and easy access to Microsoft experts, software, and technical information, enhancing IT productivity and control and planning. With convenient access to all these resources in one online location, TechNet Plus provides what you need to help you evaluate products and learn new skills, plan for and deploy new technologies, and support and maintain your IT environment. For evaluation and learning, you get access to all Microsoft full version software for evaluation without time limits. This includes Microsoft Server, Client, and Application Software titles. With full version software, you can make informed decisions about new technologies at your own pace. You also receive access to the latest betas before public release. Be the first to try out the latest pre-release versions of Microsoft operating systems, servers, and business applications. TechNet Plus also offers quarterly training resources, including select Microsoft e-learning courses for free, so you can keep your skills current, prepare for certification exams, or get ready for a specific project. For planning and deployment, the TechNet library includes resources to help you plan for and deploy new technologies in your IT environment, including a complete knowledge base, resource kits, utilities, and technical training. You also get exclusive tools like System Center Capacity Planner to accurately plan for and deploy Exchange Server and System Center Operations Manager. For support and maintenance, TechNet Plus comes with 2 complimentary professional support incidents. You can talk to a Microsoft support professional to quickly resolve your mission-critical technical issues fast. TechNet Plus also provides access to over 100 managed newsgroups. You can exchange ideas with other professionals and get expert answers to your technical questions within the next business day, guaranteed. You also get access to TechNet library resources to help you support and maintain your IT environment, including security updates and service packs. TechNet Plus offers proven value that far exceeds its cost. The 2 complimentary professional support incidents alone more than offset the cost of a TechNet Plus subscription. Add to that the evaluation and beta software and other technical resources, and TechNet Plus clearly boosts productivity. Every IT professional on the team needs one. For more information or to purchase a TechNet Plus subscription, please visit technet.microsoft.com/subscriptions. Thank you for attending this TechNet event. We hope that you enjoyed learning about the new Microsoft technologies.